the machlokas between the Rav Rishonim and the Rambam as to whether or not Tchiyas HaMesim and Olam HaBa are the same thing. Right? The Gemara seemed to give the impression that it was. Because he didn't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim, merely has in Lachelik and Olam HaBa. That seems to say that more or less are the same thing. Yet we noted the Rambam Shita seem to be that they're different. He seems to say Olam HaBa is Beligof. Beligof. So how to be Miyashiv the Rambam was a little bit unclear, whether or not that came after Olam, Olam HaBa came after Tchiyas HaMesim, which would have been one Mahalath, but for the Rambam it doesn't seem to be only that, it seems to include before that also. How exactly to be Miyashiv the Rambam from the Gemara? We tried already. But we then moved on to some of the more fundamental questions, what the issue is. Right? One of the reasons for the Rambam that we said Ein Lo Guf was because there's another Gemara that Olam Abba Ein Lo Achilo Shtiya Yeshiva and everything like that. It's a Gemara in Brachos, Gemara in Sanhedrin. So if it had none of these physical qualities, then why should it have a guf? Is it going to be just like a statue? So we spoke about last week the arguments of the Yad Ramah that, what do you mean, just because it has no achila, it does have achila. What do you mean it does have achila? It has achila, just like Moshe Rabbeinu had achila. It has a guf, just like Moshe Rabbeinu went on Batahar Sinai. Eliyahu Navi, to live a spiritual, to live a spiritual existence, but with the guf. And those were some of the arguments we spoke a little bit about last week. We'll get back to a little bit more when we read the Ramban in the Shaar HaGemul. But first today, I believe someone asked last week a question, which I said I'd get back to. He says, what? One of the arguments of the Yad Ramah was that, of course, the guf has to have a chelek in Olam HaBa. Why? Because otherwise, the neshama would be the only one to get the reward. The guf, which is temporary, would automatically be finished. It would be temporary. The neshama, which starts out permanent, the chelek elokam imal, would always be permanent. There's no reward, there's no punishment. It's just the memela. Everything goes back to its natural state. So then, why then, he asks the Yad Ramah, why is it that the guf, which participated in the mitzvah, shouldn't enjoy the Olam HaBa with the mitzvah, with the neshama? Or similarly, the guf, which the opposite, which participated in the enjoy the aveira, whatever that means, then it should suffer forever. It should suffer in the Gehenna with not only the neshama. So therefore, he thinks it must be that there are even gufim involved in Olam HaBa. Tchiyas HaMesim and Olam HaBa are the same thing. Now, so the question that was asked me last week within this, we said, well, why should the guf get any sky within this? Why do they have to? Why don't you just say that the guf is just like a kli? It's just a vehicle. That was, I think, one of the chaver asked this week. You remember that? You were going to answer it also.
How are you?
It's a good question. So what we're going to do right now is read the Yad Ramah, who asked this very question himself. This is on page Shin Samach. Got it? Im Yesh Shemedaktikin. Good, I'm going to need your help because I have no idea what he's talking about. At least I'm not sure I know what he's talking about. V'omim. V'halo ha'guf l'neshama k'chli ma'isa l'adam. Right, the guf is just a utensil. The imnemar shaguf nidon l'fisha nasa ma'isa yado. And if you'll tell me that the guf should be judged because a ma'isa was done with it, imkein gam charbo v'kashto v'chol kelev shenasa ma'isa yado yadunu also. Then his sword and his arrow. If this kind of gets a question, do guns kill or do people kill? And I think he's taking the side here that guns do not kill, People always look ill, and this is the gun is just a kli b'yad adam. Whether what to do about the guns is a separate story. But in terms, he's certainly separating between people and guns. So anyway, so he's asking, why is the guf not that? Why is the guf just not a gun? Shtei tshuvos badar. Harishona, she'ein maisa gufo shel adam dome lemaisa charba v'kastav shakele mishnei panim. There's a difference in two different reasons. Panim harishona, first of all, she'afal pi she'ein aguf osa maisa el lefi machsheves hanefesh v'atzasa. That even though that the body only does the action according to the plan of the nefesh, eino osa maisa mikoach hanefesh bilvad. It doesn't act only with the quote-unquote koach hanefesh. She'im kein haya badin shelo yidal koach aguf v'lo yechazak el lefi koach hanefesh. It should only weaken or become stronger depending how much koach hanefesh I put into it. Aval hakli ha'osem ma'isem mikoach ha'adam hamanifo bilvad, the utensil, which is simply does an action by the person waving it. Eino osem ma'isem elefi koach hamanifo ima'atvim harbe. It only acts according to the amount of energy, I would say, that the person puts in, depending a lot or a little. A little or a lot is actually the way he puts it. Lefimach shaftam tovim ra, or according to the person's thoughts, whether for the good or for the bad. Did you understand the chiluk you just made? Good. If you'd be able to understand it, I'll give you 3 minutes. I'm not sure what he's saying.
Body has mind of its own?
Is he? At this point, even? Maybe. Maybe he's saying. What it seems to me, what he's saying, is that that a person is only going to, a person, he's going to hit something. He's going to bang on something. So he's going to bang on it, number one, with the koach of his nefesh, using his hand. But it also is going to depend, the strength, the force which is going to be used, also depends on shel yidal koach aguf lo yechzak el lefi koach hanefesh. It also depends somewhat on how strong his hand is going to be. That's what it seems to me. Am I correct in understanding it that way? Or and furthermore, it will get weaker. Number one, it will depend how much force I'm using. It will depend not only on my plan, but also how much force I'm using with my hand, my arm, whatever. That seems to be point number one. And beyond that, I think he may be saying one becomes weaker or stronger. Like exercise will I want to do exercise, but it will also strengthen my body. Something like that. If strengthen or weaken my body, I'll get tired. That's something which happens to the body, besides the nefesh. That's what I think he's saying. My problem is, I don't know where to be machalik, because I imagine there's something called wear and tear on an object. If I borrow a utensil, if I use a utensil, then the more I use it, the more it gets, quote unquote, tired. Huh? And I'd get it, that's shown the halacha. I'm allowed to pay dmei schiros. Dmei schiros is why there's wear and tear on things. In Ezer Neshach. Speaks of paying for rent. Renting is not just simply, oh, what's the big deal? I rented a car and I give you back the same car, so why can I pay for it? It's just to be like a loan. Mm-hmm. Meaning like a loan of money. A loan of money, I lend you $100, I get back $100. So when I, in terms of an object, there's usually wear and tear. I'm not sure I fully understand what he's talking about. This needs work. And then he continues. This may be the lines you were focusing on before, I think. This is what you're focusing on? Yeah. That it happens often, that something will happen to the body, only the body, and it will become weaker, without affecting the nefesh at all. Again, what is he referring to there? Does he mean sometimes the person could slip? A person slip of the tongue? Person wants to say something and something comes out the other and just he ends up saying something completely different. Huh?
Maybe,
or the body doesn't always work as the person wants it to.
Like the eyesight goes worse, so.
It could be that. I don't know. What's surprising me here is because I always, maybe we just don't know what part is where to be machale between the guf and the nefesh. I guarantee number one is, this only works because the guf and the nefesh are connected. I mean, none of this is going to happen after the person's mace.
Agreed.
Right? So, does that mean it's a kli, or maybe it means while it's alive, it gets a force, it gets a koach within itself, and that would be the approximate thing of what he's saying. It's not just a kli, it becomes. But ironically, the more it becomes, what he seems to be saying is that it just becomes part of the person. It's not something different. On one hand, he's trying to say it's somewhat different, but it's too different, and it's really a kli. A kli is more different than the person, right? It's. This is his first argument. I was excited by this. Again, I'm having a hard time understanding it, but. I was speaking about this a little bit last year. Last year we gave some shiurim in terms of Hilcha Shabbos, some of the technology issues of Hilcha Shabbos. So one up-and-coming issue is brain-computer interface is that Rahmanul Islan for someone who's handicapped. So for someone who used to be stuck in a handicap, they almost couldn't do anything. Now they hook up their brain to a computer, or the opposite. If their brain is functioning properly and certain limbs aren't functioning properly, they hook up their brain to prosthetic limbs, which are computerized, and the brain itself works as a computer. Brain itself has sense electronic waves. Usually, it just does it to the rest of the body. But here it does it to a machine. And when the brain tells it to, whatever, to write a certain word, and it shows a certain word on a screen, or the opposite, when the brain sends something to the arm, it moves the electric arm, or it moves the, etc. Unbelievable. So how about all those type of things for Hilcha Shabbos? So could those things be done on Shabbos? Besides any heterium, because Rachman Hashem, we're dealing with, obviously, Malkam Choli, how do you view such a thing? So we spoke about that in those shiur. So I was very excited when I saw this Maror Makom, because this gets to basically how does the person relate to his own body? How does the brain and the body, is it all one? I'm not sure what he's describing here. He's describing one integrated guf body, neshama body, or is he describing a body and a guf, which has as you're describing, a guf kind of has a mind of its own. That may have an effect in terms of how about if I literally turn the body into put the body into a kli, but instead of using my actual hand, I'm using a computer in the same. It's very different when I actually literally use a pen or pencil to actually write. That's a kli if I use a. So I found this to be a very interesting Maror Makom in comparing the guf to that. Okay. That was point number one, explanation of the Arama. Again, very, very difficult to understand what exactly he's talking about. Meir Tashem will try to work on it more and try to come up with a working shot what he means. It could be we just don't know what part is what for him, what's the guf, what's the nefesh. Because again, a guf which is no longer alive can't do these things anymore. So it can't be totally the guf, but it obviously means the guf when it's alive is not just a kli. It's also, as you said, maybe the way you're putting it, somewhat of a mind of its own, ironically. The second, I think, is more understandable, though it goofy, you have to figure out when it gets to the nefesh. Hashniim, the second one, Jamidah Sadin, you got it 3 lines on the bottom? No senes, shehe gufo shel adam nidon, velo ye akli nidon, velo mekabel schar. It makes sense that the body should be judged and not just as a utensil, and not that the utensil shouldn't be judged, also the guf should be judged and not the utensil. Why? It has within it a spirit of life. It itself feels. It feels enjoyment, it feels pain. And these are your words again. And it has knowledge to do good or bad. Again, does it have knowledge or does it... one could have said it's a kli again. Right, but at least I imagine what he means is part of something which has knowledge. Here he's clearly integrating it to the rest of the person. The guf is not just it's not just simply a table. The guf is part and parcel of the person, which is true. But I don't know if he's just. That's his main argument. And he continues, of course, that tshuva hashenis, l'pishe gufo shel adam, k'she nidon, eno nidon levado, elem ha-nefesh, instead judged together, as we quoted the Gemara by Rebbe and Antoninus. We read that Gemara already, that, again, with the blind person and the lame person, each one couldn't get to the pardes together, they couldn't get to the high tree, so one lifted each other on the shoulders, and they did it, and then they were able to take off from the tree, and the melech realized that, and he put them two together to judge them. So to the guf and the neshama, either one couldn't be judged by themselves, that's the Gemara. So the Adorama, he runs with this Gemara, as we showed already, and he says, that's why both the guf and the nefesh, and the neshama both have to be judged. You couldn't judge either one by themselves. The guf by itself couldn't do anything, the neshama by itself wouldn't do anything. So only the two together. That's how he finishes this piece. That because the guf will feel the pain of the punishment and the opposite, the enjoyment of the reward, It's not levatala, this that the guf is recreated at the time of Tchias Amesim for Olam Haba. Aval Hakli, okay, very nice. I'm going to, in Tchias Amesim, in order to punish the gun that the person killed with, or to reward the, whatever, the Svarim that he learned with, or the Shtender that he used, we're going to bring it back with him to Olam Haba. Aval Hakli, afilu hamidu, kamo shahaya b'shoshe, asa maisa ayado, Eino yotze levatola. There's no reason to be recreated for no purpose anymore. If it's not going to have a physical purpose at that point, ve'ena kadosh baruch hu osed davar levatola. Ve'ein nochol nomer sheiten koach bekli kedei sheyargish b'onus of hischaro. There's no reason that kadosh baruch hu should do some nace at that point to say, ah, that gun which I used should now feel pain. Should feel the pain it was involved in killing somebody. That sword which was used. Rachmana Litzlan, for killing somebody, now we should bring it back to life. Not bring it back, no, back to life. We should give it some feeling that it should feel what it put that person through. That there's no reason to do that. That knife doesn't have feelings. Shimkein Lotzlan Midas Adin Ketzad Zeh Osa Shalom Midas Veloka Midas. There's no reason to do that because now this is going to get hit midas, and it acted shalom midas. However, the person acted with beguf b'neshama bidas, and at that point, the das wasn't only part of the neshama; it was even part of the guf, and therefore, he thinks it's necessary to reward and punish the guf, not only the neshama, but even the guf in Olam Haba as well. That was the arguments of the Abba. Maybe we'll call it short today, and we gotta go anyway. We'll call it short.